Chapter 9. It wasn't always easy. There were days when Wei Wuxian drank too much, when the work at the Lotus Farm exhausted him for no particular reason, when watching the new cultivators made him want to curl up under his bed, days when he took out Suibian to polish it and ended up crying for hours, days when he listened to everyone talk about their plans for the crowd hunt, and the emptiness in his chest, in his gut, tried to swallow him whole. Lan Wangji was always in the back of his mind at these times, offering what reassurance he could. But the problem was, there was only so much he could say. Even when Wei Wuxian was feeling secure in their relationship, which he rarely was at times like this, Lan Wangji's love could not heal the hollowness inside of him. Lan Wangji's love could not bring back the future he had imagined for himself. "You need to take better care of yourself," Jiang Yanli told him after a long day at the camp, when he told her he was too tired to eat. "You shouldn't push yourself so hard," she added, and Wei Wuxian didn't know how to tell her that pushing himself was all he could do. He was tired, though, and his body ached in ways it shouldn't have, ways he wouldn't have expected, even after a day of hard labor. He went to bed early, forgoing his usual nightly drinks, slept heavily, and woke still feeling unrefreshed. Outside it was raining. He groaned as he got up and dressed and began the walk to the camp. By foot it was about 15 minutes, and he was shivering by the time he got there. In the back of his mind, Lan Wangji was gritting his teeth and asking why he couldn't at least bring an umbrella, but Wei Wuxian ignored him. "What are you doing?" Wen Qing immediately scolded. "Do you think we're going to be picking lotus seeds in the pouring rain?"
"No, but I..."
Wei Wuxian felt frustration thick in his throat. "They're planning night hunts at Lotus Pier, and it was just too much." Wen Qing sighed. "Come inside," she said, ushering him into the small house she shared with Wen Ying. "An Ying, could you get some dry clothes for this idiot, please?" she called, and Wen Ying looked up from where he was making what was probably their lunch, since it was long after the breakfast hour. "Here," Wen Ying said, pressing a bundle of clothing and a towel into Wei Wuxian's hands. "Please, dry yourself off." Wei Wuxian nodded and went into the bedroom. He was suddenly exhausted, just from the short walk, with barely enough strength to get undressed, let alone crawl back into fresh clothes. The world was fading in and out with the beat of his pulse.
"Wei Ying?"
Lan Wangji's voice pressed into his mind, and his head ached so badly that he could have cried.
"You should."
He didn't find out what Lan Wangji thought he should do, because the next thing he knew, he was in a heap on the floor.
"Ying!"
He mumbled, wondering what had happened. He started coughing, a dry, racking cough. Wen Qing poked her head into the room. "Wei Wuxian, why didn't you tell me you weren't feeling well?" "Ah," he protested, wondering if this was what not feeling well was like. His head was swimming, and Wen Ying was helping him into bed with gentle hands, then helping him roll onto his side so he could cough. Wen Qing pressed her hand to his forehead. "You're burning up," she told him. "An Ying, will you go to the main house and let Wen Yin know that Wei Wuxian is ill?" Wen Ying nodded and stood.
"Not ill,"
Wei Wuxian protested as he left, but he was too tired to continue to argue, as she tucked him into bed, placed a damp washcloth on his forehead and forced a mug of medicinal tea down his throat. A few minutes or hours later, Jiang Cheng was there saying, "Wasn't injured, I don't think. How could he be ill?" Wen Qing's voice was quiet and a little sad. "Wan Yan, average people sometimes get ill for no reason. While a cultivator will fight off that sort of sickness without even noticing, and only become feverish after periods of deprivation or injury, Wei Wuxian can't do that anymore. The illness seems mild. Several of the others in the village have been coughing for several days, but they have recovered. Wei Wuxian was just pushing himself too hard, which is why his case is more severe. I'm sorry. It should have occurred to me that he could catch it from the others."
"Don't apologize," Jiang Cheng said. "We're all getting used to it."
He saw that Wei Wuxian had opened his eyes and said, "Next time you don't feel well, you need to tell Wen Qing right away." Wei Wuxian said, holding up three fingers to indicate his word. Then he coughed again and said,
"Better get ready for Lan Chan to come storming in."
Jiang Cheng gave a snort, but nodded.
"I'll take you back to your own rooms."
Wen Qing shook her head. "It's still raining, and he could take a chill even worse. It's fine for him to stay here. An Ying can stay with Uncle Four until Wei Wuxian has recovered."
"All right," Jiang Cheng said. "I'll have Ajia bring some soup for him."
"Yay, soup,"
Wei Wuxian mumbled and fell asleep. He was feverish for almost 3 days, and Wen Qing cared for him without complaint, only occasionally letting Zheng Yanli or Wen Ying take over while she got some rest. The other refugees sent their best wishes in the form of words, since Wen Qing would not allow them in lest they catch the disease. Ayuan sent a paper butterfly that he had made. Lan Wangji arrived on the second day and insisted on sitting with him, even though Wen Qing said he just needed rest.
"You weren't using Chen Qing, were you?"
he asked, as soon as Wei Wuxian was awake.
"Fuck off, Lan Chan,"
Wei Wuxian said, still achy and exhausted, which put him in a foul temper. Lan Wangji sighed.
"I'll take that as a no."
"No, I haven't, because things have been quiet, and I told you that as long as things stayed quiet, I wouldn't use resentful energy, so thanks for trusting me to keep my word."
"It's not..."
Lan Wenqi cut off the thought, colored by frustration and worry. He took a deep breath and continued.
"I just wanted to know if I should play cleansing for you. That's all. Just let me sleep."
Wei Wuxian said, rolling over so he wasn't facing Lan Wangji, knowing that Lan Wangji was privy to all his anger and grief and doubts, and hating every second of it. Instead of taking out his guqin, Lan Wangji began to hum softly, and Wei Wuxian cried himself to sleep. The next day, his fever finally broke. He was quiet and eerily compliant as Wen Qing ordered another day of bed rest and said he should be fine to go back to regular activity after that, as long as he took it easy. He ate his congee and drank his tea and let Lan Wangji and Jiang Yanli fuss over him. And if his thoughts were a little more scattered than usual, well, he was recovering from an illness. It didn't occur to Lan Wangji that Wei Wuxian was trying to keep him from hearing his underlying torment. After 2 days of this, Wei Wuxian reassured Lan Wangji that he was completely recovered, back to normal, and that Lan Wangji should head back to Cloud Recesses. There was only about a month left before the crowd hunt. A lot of plans still had to be finalized. Lan Wangji agreed and was even gathering up his things until he heard a stray thought.
"Not like there's any point in me showing up to the damn thing."
He thought, at Wei Wuxian, who mentally flinched away.
"Why would you not go to the crowd hunt?"
"Why would I?" Wei Wuxian asked. "I'm not a cultivator anymore."
Lan Wangji stopped packing his things. but didn't turn away from them, sensing that Wei Wuxian wasn't comfortable with the conversation and didn't want to have it face to face.
I know that Jiang Wanyin still considers you his first disciple.
That's because he's sentimental,
Wei Wuxian said.
Plus, it's complicated, isn't it? There aren't really rules to what happens after a cultivator loses their golden core. He could have said I was no longer a disciple and nobody would have batted an eyelash. He just didn't want to.
Wei Ying.
What the fuck am I gonna do at the crowd hunt, Lan Chan? Wei Wuxian suddenly whirled around. I can't do the orthodox cultivation that you would approve of. I'd be happy to whip up Chen Qing and use resentful energy to round up some demons, but everyone will be upset if I do that, especially you. So I ask you, what the fuck do you want from me right now? I'm trying to accept what I can't be anymore. Why can't you?
It's not that I...
Yes, it is! Saying you're my cultivation partner? Saying you would marry me? Wei Wuxian's voice twisted in agony. I was just flat on my back with a fever for 4 days for no damn reason. I'm going to get old and die while you'll still be young and beautiful and strong. How can you be okay with that?
Of course I'm not okay with that.
Lan Wangji felt grief clog his own throat and looked away.
I'm not okay with what you lost. Neither of us are. And why should we be? But it's not the end of everything we are. I still want to marry you, even knowing you'll grow old and die. When you're born again, I will find you.
How can you say that with such confidence?
Wei Wuxian wondered, turning away to scrub tears off his face with the heel of his hand. Lan Wangji didn't know how to reply, and the only thought that crossed his mind was,
what else do I have?
Wei Wuxian bit off a sob. I want to go back, Lan Chan. I want to go back to how things were. I miss it so much. I miss us. I miss me. Sometimes I feel like I don't know who I am anymore. I wake up in the morning and I just don't know what to do with myself, all because of... The words broke off and he choked out. It's not fair, Lan Chan. It's not fair.
I know.
Lan Wangji gathered him into an embrace, hugged him tightly.
I know.
He sat down on the bed, cradling Wei Wuxian against his shoulder, letting him cry until he had no more tears. When he was finally silent, Lan Wangji said,
we both know that we can't go back, but we can still move forward, Wei Ying. There is a future for us. It might not be the one either of us planned, but it is there nonetheless, for the two of us, together.
Wei Wuxian nodded, letting out another shudder. Lan Wangji stroked his hair and hummed quietly.
Please don't leave again, he choked out, gripping the shoulder of Lan Wangji's robes. I know it's selfish, but I need you here, Lan Chan. I need you with me.
Lan Wangji nodded.
I will stay.
Jiang Cheng's preference to notifying the other sects of his betrothal to Wen Qing was to not do it at all. He had no need of a flashy wedding, he said. There were better things to spend the sect's money on. Wen Qing would be happier with a quiet, private ceremony anyway. Drawing attention to it would only result in trouble. All of this was true, but Wen Qing herself pointed out that to not invite the other sect leaders was an enormous insult in and of itself. Even if they declined to attend, the invitation had to be issued, and it couldn't say Jiang Zongchu is getting married without announcing who the bride-to-be was.
They're gonna make an enormous deal out of it, Jiang Cheng groaned at the dinner table.
Wen Qing and Wen Ying had dinner with the Yunmeng siblings twice a week, and now Lan Wangji was joining them as well. Wei Wuxian glanced over at Lan Wangji, following his train of thought. We should do that after the crowd hunt, yeah? He said, and Lan Wangji nodded. To Jiang Cheng, he said, if you announce it beforehand, Jing Guangshan's just gonna be pissed off that you stole his thunder, so I don't think you need to say anything right now. Save it until afterwards. Then you can invite the sect leaders to Lotus Pier to celebrate the engagement. Wen Qing nodded. You'll have a better knowledge of the lay of the political land after the crowd hunt in any case, she said. And it'll be an opportunity for both of us to talk up Wen Qing and say how good she's doing in Yunmeng, Wei Wuxian said. He frowned and added, Hey Wen Qing, are you two coming with us to the crowd hunt? Wen Qing shook her head. I think it would be a bad idea for many reasons, she said. Not the least of all because I don't want to leave the village unprotected. Good point, Wei Wuxian said. Maybe I should stay behind, too. You're coming, Jiang Cheng said firmly. You're still my first disciple. Wei Wuxian sighed. After his conversation with Lan Wangji about it, he had attempted to talk Jiang Cheng into letting him stay home, but wasn't getting anywhere with it. Jiang Cheng was insistent on the fact that Wei Wuxian would still be accepted and respected as the head disciple, even without his golden core. Wei Wuxian was conflicted on the matter, because he really didn't want to go, but he knew he would be disappointed if Jiang Cheng wasn't supporting him. It wasn't worth arguing further. So, a month later, he found himself standing in a line of young masters between Nie Huaisang and Lan Wangji, waiting while Jing Guangyao gave a speech about the history of the crowd hunt and welcoming them all to Baifeng. Shouldn't he be down here with us? He said, mostly to himself. He half expected an answer from Lan Wangji, who might have heard something about it from his brother. But it was Nie Huaisang who replied, No, he's no good at archery. He never learned a lot of the fundamentals, you know, because of his childhood. Daga brought him up to speed on some things, but archery wasn't much of a priority in Qinghe. I think Sangha is afraid he would embarrass himself if he actually took part in the hunt. And organizing things like this is something he's very good at. I imagine he took on most of the responsibility. Wei Wuxian nodded, because that he did know from Lan Qichen, who had spoken of how tirelessly Jing Guangyao had been working to make sure this event was perfect. Of course, he could hardly not, after he had made the decision to host it without even asking his father first. Any problem with the crowd hunt would make Jing Guangshan furious, and would surely be blamed on Jing Guangyao. He wished more than ever that Jiang Cheng had let him stay in Yunmeng. Not that he was too worried about causing trouble for Jing Guangyao. He knew that Lan Wangji still didn't quite trust him, although at this point, 6 months later, he was unsure how much of that distrust was valid. He felt like if Jing Guangyao really had ulterior motives, he would have shanked his father by now. Heaven knew he deserved it. Instead, he and Lan Qichen just seemed to drink a lot of tea and talk about music together. So Lan Wangji, who was clearly predisposed to being overprotective of his brother, might have just been worried for nothing. So he decided he would do his best to go along with everything quietly and not make a fuss. What are you doing here? Jin Xishun sneered. Wei Wuxian blinked guilelessly and said, Sorry, who are you? Jin Xishun flushed red. Lan Wangji let out an internal snort of laughter, knowing that it was a 50-50 split between the possibility that Wei Wuxian was being a little shit and the possibility that Wei Wuxian genuinely had no idea who Jin Xishun was. Jin Xishun rolled his eyes and Nie Huaisang chuckled nervously. How dare you be so disrespectful? Jin Xishun demanded. Wei Wuxian blinked at him. Can it be called disrespect on my part if you failed to make an impression?
So he's being a little shit.
Lan Wangji decided and saw a faint smile tug at Wei Wuxian's lips.
Just ignore him, Xishun.
Jin Xishun said. Jin Xishun huffed and said, I asked a question and he hasn't answered it yet. I'm not ignoring him until I get the answer.
He is not obligated to answer you,
Lan Wangji said, his voice as icy as he could make it.
Wei Ying is the head disciple of the Yunmeng Jiang sect. As such, he is here to participate in the crowd hunt. Both of these are obvious facts, so your question betrays that you are lacking in both basic knowledge and basic courtesy.
You! Jin Zixun turned an even darker red. He seemed to realize that he didn't want to tangle with Lan Wangji, however, turning back to Wei Wuxian and saying, "You have no right to stand here with us. You are no longer a cultivator." "That didn't stop me from kicking Wen Rohan's ass," Wei Wuxian said blandly. "And it won't stop me from kicking yours either. Now, are we shooting or not?" Jin Zixuan scoffed at both of them.
"The adults among us are," he said,
and stepped forward with his bow. He shot a perfect bullseye, because of course he did. "That's nothing," Jin Zixun sneered, stepping up with a bow and three arrows, scoring three perfect bullseyes.
"Impressive,"
Wei Wuxian said, clapping in obviously fake admiration. "Hey, Lan Chan, can I borrow your forehead ribbon?" Lan Wangji said, reaching behind his head to unfasten it. A ripple of shock and whispers went through the crowd as he placed it in Wei Wuxian's hand. He tied it over his eyes, then laughed and said, "Ah, that's far too narrow. Never mind, Lan Chan." He handed it back and untied his forearm wrapping instead, using it to blindfold himself.
"Don't be mad, okay?"
"At what? You using demonic cultivation after you promised not to?"
"It's only a little demonic to guide my arrows to some bullseyes. You can play cleansing for me later, but you know I can't let him slide."
Lan Wangji sighed, because he did know that, and it was ridiculous to him that Wei Wuxian actually cared about Jin Zixun's opinion. But he said nothing while Wei Wuxian shot his five bullseyes while blindfolded. "Why can't you do the whole night hunt while blindfolded, if you're so impressed with yourself?" Jin Zixun sneered at him.
"I mean, I could," Wei Wuxian said, "but I think it'll just be all the more embarrassing for you if I kicked your ass while blindfolded a second time."
Seeming to realize that the fight was about to get ugly, Jin Guangyao broke into it to announce that they were going to suspend the archery part of the hunt, because obviously everyone there was a skilled archer, and everyone should proceed up onto the mountain. Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji walked in silence for about half an hour, while Wei Wuxian came up with numerous ideas and discarded them, before he finally settled on one and sat down with Chen Cheng. Lan Wangji gave him a look.
"You can..."
"If you say I can play cleansing for you later, I will tie your hands with my forehead ribbon."
Wei Wuxian's eyes sparkled. "Promise?" Lan Wangji reached out and took Chen Cheng out of his hands, and Wei Wuxian let him.
"Put the blindfold back on."
They had just finished getting dressed when Jiang Yanli and Jin Zixuan walked by, eavesdropping on Jin Zixuan's pitiful attempts to connect with her was physically painful, and Lan Wangji was not at all surprised when Wei Wuxian burst out of hiding to confront him. The argument was about to escalate when Madame Jin showed up and threatened to kick her son's ass into the next week for upsetting Jiang Yanli for the 100th time. Wei Wuxian was on the verge of liking her when she veered into, "Wei Wuxian shouldn't escort you back to the stands because people might think ill-mannered things."
Sorry, hang on. I want to be clear on this," Wei Wuxian said, unable to help it.
"Everyone knows Lan Chan is my cultivation partner. You are worried that people will think I'm being unfaithful to the great Han Guanjun with my sister? Frankly, they're welcome to spread those rumors. I bet the results would be pretty hilarious."
Lan Wangji said, somehow conveying with that one syllable a world of pain for anyone who dared say Wei Wuxian would be unfaithful to him.
"Well," Madame Jin said, a little taken aback, "are you two really cultivation partners anymore, given your circumstances? It would be understandable if Han Guanjun decided to seek a partner elsewhere."
The words shouldn't have hurt, because Lan Wangji had told him so many times that they weren't true. But they did, because he went to sleep thinking about them every night. For probably the 100th time, he felt a wave of anger and revulsion from Lan Wangji that anyone might dare to even think that Wei Wuxian was no longer good enough for him. However, all he said out loud was, "I would not, and I have not." Madame Jean opened her mouth, but Jiang Yanli cut her off softly, saying,
"Jean Feren, I understand your concerns, but Axian is my little brother, and he and Han Guanjun are going to be getting married soon. I do not believe anyone would dare spread the sort of vile rumors you are suggesting. Why don't we all go back to the stands together?"
"Of course, Ali," Madame Jean said, managing a thin smile. "Sichuan, come, walk beside Jiang Guanyang and try not to embarrass yourself again." Jin Sichuan flushed pink but did as he was told. Wei Wuxian rolled his eyes but trailed after them, sliding his hand into Lan Wangji's as they walked as if to drive home the point. Before they had walked more than about half a mile, they ran into Lan Xichen and Jing Guangyao, who were apparently just going for a stroll through the forest, if the way they were casually chatting was any indication. Wei Wuxian felt Lan Wangji's back stiffen, and he thought,
"If you were a cat, you'd be hissing and spitting right now. Take it easy. Jing Guangyao is not going to do anything nefarious with your brother with all these people around."
Lan Wangji's response was sour silence and another wave of worry. Wei Wuxian realized that the situation was sort of lose-lose as far as Lan Wangji saw it. Either Jing Guangyao's intentions were not genuine, in which case Lan Xichen would be hurt by his deception, or they were, in which case Lan Xichen would eventually reject him due to his preferences, which would probably lead to hurt feelings on both sides.
"You don't know that will happen," Wei Wuxian pointed out. "Maybe Jing Guangyao genuinely just feels platonic friendship for your brother."
He was greeted with a mental parade of every time Jing Guangyao had said, "Arga," while making heart eyes over the past 6 months.
"Or not,"
he admitted.
"But even so, he might be respectful for your brother's lack of desire for a partner in that way. You don't know that he won't be. Let's not borrow trouble, okay? We've really got enough problems."
Lan Wangji gave an internal huff, but also a slight nod. As the time set aside for the night hunt ended, the cultivators gathered back around the stands, comparing notes and bragging about their triumphs. Jin Xixin spotted Wei Wuxian in the crowd and immediately sneered his way over. "Whatever happened to the great show you were going to give us?" he asked. "I don't think you made a single kill."
"I got distracted," Wei Wuxian said, with a sideways smile at Lan Wangji.
"So I guess there wasn't any reason for you to come after all," Jin Xixin said. "Hey," Wei Wuxian said, "did I piss in your tea this morning? No? Then why don't you leave me the hell alone?" Jin Xixin, as usual, flushed red. Lan Wangji wondered why he insisted on starting fights he clearly had no idea how to win. Fortunately, before things broke out into violence, Nia Huaisang came over to tell them how the Nia clan had ranked highest in the hunt, presumably because Nia Mingchue had single-handedly caught and killed over one-third of the prey.
"That's Jifeng Dun for you," Wei Wuxian said cheerfully.
"Ah, is that why you're upset, Jin Xixin? Was there not enough prey left over for you after he'd had his fill?" Jin Xixin scowled and stomped away. Nia Huaisang let out a quiet snicker.
"The Jin clan came in last of the great sects in their own hunt. They must be furious."
"We beat them?" Wei Wuxian asked, so excited he forgot that he hadn't been including himself in the we of the Jiang clan, and had, in fact, contributed nothing, beyond distracting Lan Wangji so he couldn't hunt on behalf of his own clan.
"I guess that's what happens to a sect that sits in their tower and gets soft while they let everyone else fight their battles for them."
Lan Wangji said, wholeheartedly agreeing. But his gaze strayed across the clearing to where Jing Guangyao was clearly getting yelled at by Jing Guangshan. Wei Wuxian's gaze followed, and he winced as Jing Guangshan threw a cup of alcohol in Jing Guangyao's face and stormed off. Jing Guangyao stood very still for a moment before he straightened his robes, mopped off his face, and turned to the crowd. With his usual smile, he invited everyone to the palace for the floral banquet.
I can't help but feel sorry for him, Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian said.
It seems like his entire life people have been stepping on him. How he's still able to smile after he's treated like that is completely beyond me. That's probably why he likes your brother so much. He could use a little kindness in his life, and your brother's the kindest man I know.
Lan Wangji sighed, but agreed. There were a lot of small clans in attendance, as well as the great sects. And Wei Wuxian tried to pay attention as he was introduced to people at the floral banquet. As they made their way to their tables, he realized that again, the Lan and the Jiang clans had been seated next to each other, his own seat next to Lan Wangji's in the second row. He glanced around and caught Jing Guangyao's eye and gave him a friendly smile and a nod of thanks. Jing Guangyao smiled back. The good mood was punctured less than 2 minutes later when Jin Zixin came over, dragging his enormous attitude with him, and invited Lan Xichen and Lan Wangji to toast. Jing Guangyao spotted this and hurried over before Lan Xichen had to respond.
Ah, Jin Argongxi, you might not know this, but in Cloud Recesses there is a prohibition against drinking alcohol.
The Jin clan and the Lan clan are close friends, Jin Zixin said. If you don't drink, that means you're looking down on me. Lan Xichen and Lan Wangji exchanged a look, while Jing Guangyao continued to fret, clearly upset that Jin Zixin was putting Lan Xichen in this position, but without the standing to challenge him on it. Wei Wuxian could feel Lan Wangji's annoyance, but it didn't blossom into fury until after Lan Xichen accepted the cup and drank from it. Then all of Lan Wangji's thoughts centered around a single point of how dare you? And Wei Wuxian stood and snatched the second cup. I'll drink for him, he said. That should be okay, right? Since I'm his cultivation partner. He tossed the drink back, then held the cup upside down. Next time, I'll drink for Zhou Jin, too, since he's my brother. You think so highly of yourself, Jin Zixin said. As if someone like you could be cultivation partners to the great Han Guan Jun, even back when you still were a cultivator. Lan Wangji was immediately on his feet and bit out the word, apologize.
Lan Chan, it's fine. You don't have to.
It is not fine, Lan Wangji snapped.
I've heard you say far too often that you can't be my cultivation partner to tolerate it from someone like him. He will apologize or I will tear Koi Tower down around their ears brick by brick.
Wei Wuxian was momentarily distracted by how exceptionally attractive Lan Wangji was when he was this pissed off. So he almost missed it when Jing Guangshan spoke up.
You teenagers get upset about everything so easily, he said with a hearty and obviously fake chuckle. Don't take it so seriously, Lan Gongxi. It's just his opinion.
Lan Wangji turned his icy stare on Jing Guangshan, and Lan Xichen stepped in to try to smooth things over.
Jin Zongshu, my brother and Wei Gongxi have, of course, had a very difficult time lately, he said. I'm sure Jin Argongxi did not intend to be disrespectful, but I feel an apology would be appropriate, given the harshness of his words.
Jing Guangshan waved as if he could wave this aside, but when he saw that Lan Wangji's expression wasn't changing, he said,
Zixin, you can't go telling Lan Gongxi who his cultivation partner is. Apologize and we'll forget the whole thing.
Jin Zixin shot his uncle an unhappy look.
but then saw Lan Wangji's face and seemed to decide that discretion was the better part of valor. "I apologize for my disrespect," he said begrudgingly. The room had gone silent to watch this confrontation, and Jing Guangshan gave everyone a smile.
"Now, since we're talking, I did want to ask you about one thing, Wei Wuxian."
Wei Wuxian turned his attention to the head of the room, mostly just puzzled, but with a hint of anxiety. "What's that, Jin Zongxu?"
"I've mentioned it to you a couple of times before. During the Sunshot campaign, you used something called the Stygian Tiger Amulet. It's extremely similar to the Yin Iron. When you used it on the battlefield, you hurt a lot of cultivators accidentally. Among the shards of Yin Iron, 3 were destroyed. 1 is still missing. Regardless of how your amulet was forged, its power is too strong for anyone to master. Such an important thing is held in your hands alone."
"And?" Wei Wuxian asked, his voice a little colder. "Those are statements, Jin Zongju. What is the question?"
"Well, don't you think it's improper?"
Jing Guangshan said with his fake smile. "No," Wei Wuxian said. There was a long silence while Jing Guangshan waited for more that he clearly felt was warranted, and Wei Wuxian continued to say nothing. Lan Wangji was tense beside him, feeling the anxiety that the amulet, his only real source of power, might be taken from him. The fear of what Jing Guangshan would do with it. The anger at Jing Guangshan's entitlement.
"I see," Jing Guangshan finally said. "Well, I'm afraid that I do."
"And what is your solution, Jin Zongchu?" Wei Wuxian asked. "Should it be yours? Are you not similarly just one person? Why are your hands more befitting than mine?" "Wei Wuxian!" Jiang Cheng hissed and stood.
"Jin Zongchu, my brother has excellent control over the Stygian Tiger Amulet. We've had no problems keeping it suppressed at Lotus Pier. I don't feel that it would be necessary to move it."
Jing Guangshan was still smiling.
"Jiang Gongxu, of course you would feel that way. I don't mean to disparage your brother, who did, after all, contribute a great deal to the Sunshot campaign, second only to my son Guang Yao. But the truth of the matter is, he is no longer a cultivator. I understand that acknowledging that must be painful for both of you, but the Stygian Tiger Amulet must be controlled."
"I agree," Jiang Cheng said. "So long as it's controlled, there shouldn't be a problem." He took a deep breath, his fists trembling at his sides. "My brother is no longer a cultivator, but I still am. If you don't feel comfortable letting him hold the amulet, let me assure you that I myself have taken all the necessary steps to ensure the resentful energy it holds is suppressed."
"I see." Jing Guangshan regarded them all for a brief moment. "Of course, there is also the matter of the Wen prisoners."
"What about them?" Jiang Cheng asked, somehow keeping his voice even. "What about them?" Jin Zixin snapped. "I was given the job of taking care of that vermin. You stepped in and prevented me from completing the task."
"Is that what he's so pissed off about?"
Wei Wuxian wondered.
"He didn't get a cookie from his uncle for murdering a village full of farmers?"
"My letter explained my rationale at the time," Jiang Cheng said. "The time to disagree was then. I have nothing further to say about it now." Wei Wuxian almost smiled. He knew that Jiang Cheng had worried that this would happen, and he and Wen Qing had spent a lot of time talking about what he should say if it did. He was handling himself beautifully, and Wei Wuxian was proud of his little brother. Of course, this didn't bode well for how his marriage announcement was going to go, but Wei Wuxian filed that under tomorrow problems. They had enough for today.
"I feel it would ease all of our minds if we could perhaps inspect their accommodations,"
Jing Guangshan said.
"Make sure that they are being contained appropriately."
Jiang Cheng bowed and said, "Of course, you are welcome in Yunmeng any time, Jin Zongju. I will personally escort you to the prison camp for an inspection, along with any other sect leader who wishes to see it." Wei Wuxian felt some of the tension go out of him. Early on, after the Sunshot campaign, he and Wen Qing had insisted on an actual labor camp being constructed on another plot of empty land, so that the refugees could move there in case any of the other sect leaders demanded exactly this. Jiang Cheng had protested that the other sect leaders wouldn't doubt his word, but Wei Wuxian and Wen Qing had known better.
"Perhaps we can further discuss the Stygian Tiger Seal at that time,"
Jing Guangshan said. "Perhaps," Jiang Cheng said, promising nothing. "You should come too," Wei Wuxian said to Jin Xishen. "Make sure we got your job done to your liking." Jin Xishen went from red to purple, threw the empty drink cup at Wei Wuxian, and stormed out.
"What a dick,"
Wei Wuxian commented. Lan Wangji wholly agreed.